able to work it loose. Tip to the blue line and out, and that'll do it as the Hawks will win their home opener in 24 with an impressive 4-2 victory over the San Jose Sharks.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. We're having fun on this Friday morning. And that was fun last night at the United Center. Thank you to the Chicago Sports Network for that highlight, because the Hawks beat the San Jose Sharks 4-2. What a night it was, which brings us to our next guest, Kaylee Chelios, who is the studio analyst for the Chicago Sports Network, and she joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Kaylee. How are you?
Morning, Kaylee.
Good morning. Good morning, Ruthie. Great to be with you guys. Yeah, last night was a lot of excitement. Red carpet, another big win for the Hawks. It's been a fun start to the season.
So, Kaylee, we've talked about this a little bit as it has happened, but the first five games, I don't know that a week ago, as they got ready to go into Winnipeg, I believe, that we thought that the Hawks might be 2-2-1, playing as competitive as they have, looking like it may be a product that's a little bit better than people expect. You don't want to get carried away because it's only five games, but what's your level of surprise?
Well, I agree with you. I think you don't want to get carried away. However, I think it would have been very difficult for the Blackhawks if they did not get out to a strong start this season. I think that was important. And we didn't really see a whole lot of jam and a whole lot in the preseason, which at times maybe seemed concerning through training camp in the preseason. I don't think we really got a good taste of maybe what we were going to see to start the season. So I actually think they're better than what their record has been. And I really like the determination they're playing with. I think it took a couple games for some of these veterans. They signed seven new players to free agency to really get acclimated, feel comfortable. And I think we're starting to see their identity. They reminded me a little bit of the Calgary Flames in that they want to be a team that's structured, defends hard, forechecks really hard, difficult to play against, and I think they're sticking to that. We've seen consistency. That's something last season they strived for, and unfortunately on paper, and they just really didn't have the talent level to be able to score goals and create offense while playing in such a defensive structure. And I think they've done excellent to start the season so far. I think the game against Edmonton was a statement win. Just because it was early doesn't mean it didn't say a lot about where this team has grown in going to Winnipeg, playing 59 solid minutes, losing and only taking home a point in a two-minute span, and then they come up and show up in Edmonton, take on McDavid and Draisaitl, and really whoop them. I mean, 5-2, but the Oilers were not in that game whatsoever. So I think they're carrying that momentum with them, and it's a really encouraging sign to see if you're the coaching staff.
And Kaylee, we know the Sharks are not great, and I've heard a lot of people compare them sort of to where the Blackhawks were maybe this time last year. Do you feel like the Blackhawks have sort of taken that step up from sort of the tier of teams that they were characterized in last season, or is it still too soon to kind of characterize that?
Probably too soon, but I'm with you. I think, yes, the Sharks are not great. I thought they were slow last night. They took seven penalties in the first two periods, which is going to make you play a lot of defense. They're tired. They really couldn't make much of a push in the third period, and it kind of threw things off. I think the Hawks were trying to find some rhythm in the third period after spending the first two, like I said, on the power play. They had 2 5-on-3s, held a 3-0 lead. And I thought they managed the game well. But yes, I think the goal, you know, if they can win between 10 and 15 more games this season than they did last year, that puts them out of that bottom five tier, you know, where the San Jose Sharks fell into last season. That puts them more where the Arizona Coyotes and Ottawa finished last season, and kind of gets them to that next level of, you know, when eventually they can contend for playoffs. Now, I think that's looking too far ahead. It's still very early, but I think getting off to a strong start now is important. When you look at how much, you know, Edmonton, Colorado, they were 0-7 combined to start the season. But as the season goes, teams kick it into high gear. Their superstars, you know, find their game pretty quickly. And it only gets more difficult after American Thanksgiving and especially after Christmas, when teams start to defend hard and really ramp it up. So for the Blackhawks to get off to a strong start and start picking up points now, that's important to separate themselves into that tier. The other thing that stood out to me was their power play. They had one of the worst power plays in the league last season, and they're finding ways to score. It starts with Seth Jones. Connor Bedard, I haven't mentioned him yet, has been outstanding. He looks confident. He's play away from the puck, his willingness to play within this defensive structure that Luke Richardson wants him to play with and still make good decisions and find ways to create offense without sacrificing defensively. I think he's picked up right where he left off last season and then some.
We're talking with Kaylee Chelios, a Blackhawks studio analyst for the Chicago Sports Network. And you mentioned Bedard, and Kaylee, you were able to interview all of the players coming in on the red carpet last night. You did a terrific job. And I'm just curious, seeing him last year come into the league and having so much expected of him and handling that attention so well, so maturely, have you seen any changes, or how would you describe his personality in year two as he gets ready for even more attention if things go as well as people think? And how has he handled this any differently, or is he just the same old guy?
I think he's the same old guy, but I will say, I think last year coming into the season, I mean, he had spent the entire summer on national TV, from the draft to the NHL awards. I don't know anybody who's 18 years old and hasn't been to the NHL and wins an award at the NHL awards. I mean, he was just in front of so many lights, cameras, and media, and then they start the season on that 11-day road trip, and it's national game after national game. So I think last year, I mean, he handled it so admirably, but it was a lot. This summer, he went back home to Vancouver, you know, had a relaxing, cool summer, did some hiking, skated, was at home with family. I just think he came in with a little bit more ease and not having to worry about carrying all the pressure. Last year, there also wasn't a captain, so I think there was a little bit more pressure that he put on himself to have to step up and say yes to every single media outlet and answer some difficult questions. That's where Nick Foligno really came in and helped him. But I think, you know, he's really cool. It's one of those things where, like, I'm 31. I still catch myself doing that. But I have three kids, and, you know, you talk to a 19-year-old, and we have very different things we do when we go home. But at the same time, there is a maturity about him that's just like you're just talking to another person that's, yes, he's 19, but he does have that maturity that is not common to find in people that age, where it just feels like a normal conversation and super relatable, great family. He's very close with his parents. His mom was at the game last night. And I think, you know, he's just had a really good upbringing. He was raised well. His sisters also stayed really close with him. She used to work for Lululemon, and they spend time together as well. And so I just think he's a really good kid all around. And he's done a great job at being so young, but also just put in every situation you could probably be in at that age.
We've kind of seen that a little bit too with his personality sort of relaxing a little, making a little bit more sarcastic comments and jokes like to the media. It's very fun to see him, because I feel like he was so reserved last year. And this year I do feel like there's a level of comfort and confidence and, you know, that I think we're starting to see. And to that, Kaylee, I'm curious if there's, of all the veterans that were brought in this offseason to sort of shape Connor Bedard, right? Is there one that kind of stands out to you so far through these first five games that has made the biggest impact?
Well, I think Nick Foligno, no doubt, was his mentor. Nick does everything right. He's been a captain everywhere he's been. His dad played professional hockey for a long time. His brother plays professional hockey. He was born into it. So I think Nick, for him, you know, he takes the pressure off Connor. He helps guide him. He does everything right that you're supposed to do. So I think that's his mentor. But of all the new free agent signings, I think I'm biased. When I worked in Tampa Bay, I got to have Pat Maroon, and I interviewed him a lot. I think he's awesome. I mean, when I spoke to Wayne Gretzky when Tampa Bay signed him, and he was like, Pat is my guy. That is my favorite player. I love Pat Maroon. He's my favorite before Edmonton traded him. Pat, it just has a great way of coming into a room and keeping it loose. He has fun, works hard. He knows his job. He's consistent. He's got skill and hockey sense, but I just think he brings a calmness and ease. He can, you know, he can just step in. He doesn't necessarily always have to be the most vocal in the room, but when he does speak, it's impactful. And when things are going to be tight and the Hawks aren't winning every game, Pat, I think, always has the right things to say. And he does a really nice job at kind of leading some of these young guys where they want to go. So I think Pat Maroon coming in is awesome for Connor off the ice, especially, and just having a great mindset. And then obviously what we've seen this season so far on the ice, he's played with Teravainen quite a bit, and they seem to have some great chemistry. Teuvo played for Carolina and you know, six consecutive seasons making the playoffs. So the skill, the hockey IQ, and the chemistry there on the ice is great for his development. And I think Pat Maroon has been a great addition from a locker room guy. And, you know, he's been solid on the fourth line.
He's a winner, too. Pat Maroon.
He's a winner. Three cut Pat.
Crazy.
Let's talk about on the ice with Tavo, though, because I think when you talk about the power play, you see Tavo's impact immediately. And when you see the way that he surveys the ice and sees everything happening, he is, he's not on the level of Bedard skill-wise, but he is definitely somebody who is special in his own right. And he is definitely a guy who had 6 years at Carolina, established himself as a pretty good goal scorer, and he's going to be a guy that puts the puck where it needs to be. What did you know about Tavo before the season, and what have you learned in a short time here?
I remember watching Tavo pretty closely when I was in college here in Chicago, just because he was on the, you know, Stanley Cup championship team, and he was a kind of a fan favorite. He was so young, but same thing. He was determined. He had great hockey sense. He could play with high-skilled players. He was effective. And I think I just continue to see him, even in Carolina. I mean, that's Rod Brind'Amour, and not unlike Luke Richardson either. I mean, he is somebody who wants his team to work hard, and they're so aggressive. They forecheck with so much tenacity. They're just go, 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 attack. So for Tavo, I think having a player like Connor Bedard with him is great, because they both think the game the same way, and Connor's always thinking two, three steps ahead. You can see that when he has the puck on his stick. He knows what he's going to do and where he's going to put it already. And I think Tavo's hockey sense gives him that edge. And it's great, because Connor's going to need somebody too, with how lethal his shot is, to be able to distribute the puck to him at times too, especially on the power play. That's going to separate him. He's so good moving with the puck and creating chaos that way. Tavo just reads off that really well. He knows where to move. He knows where to be. And he knows that Bedard can pretty much get on the puck anywhere on the ice at times. So they had some great seam pass plays, some set plays on the power play last night. But I think he's going to be a pivotal part. Hopefully everybody stays healthy this season for the most part. Those two, I think that's going to help Bedard get more goals. He wants to be the facilitator. He's got six assists and a goal already this season. But he has such a great shot. I think Tavo is going to find ways to be able to create offense and get that puck to Bedard more than Bedard was able to last year, and not have to be the guy that's, you know, you don't want Bedard being F1 and going in on the forecheck to try to get pucks in the tough areas. So Tavo, I think, is going to be able to help Bedard get the puck on his stick more without having to chase the puck around.
CM Punk on the pregame show, Kaylee, your thoughts?
Yeah, that was awesome. I've loved wrestling. I went to SummerSlam back in the day with a couple of my dad's teammates, and I was a big Randy Orton fan, but that was the first time I've met CM Punk. His name's Phil, and he was really happy to be there.
His name is Phil.
His name is actually Phil. It's not CM. So it was great to kind of chat with him behind the scenes. And then I love his promo and how hype he gets for the Blackhawks. He's fabulous at what he does. And it's been a long time coming. He's been around for a long time, and I just never got a chance to really see him or meet him. But he's a big Blackhawks fan, big Chicago sports fan. He's cool. So that was a really fun experience.
Kaylee, you know, you're the second Chelios to be on the show this week, because your dad is a regular every Wednesday at 8:45. Seeing him last night reminded me to ask you this question. How did he stop aging? Because he looked terrific. The guy just looks like he could still play in a pinch if he necessary. And it's just like Chris Chelios never ages.
I don't know. I want the secret sauce. I feel like I'm starting to get up there right now. But he's got a great tan all year round. That obviously helps. Not all of us have those Greek genes, but he's a freak, to be honest. You know, every day he eats the same thing. He goes to the sauna. I mean, he used to tell us when we were kids, do 300 push-ups, 300 sit-ups a night, and you're gonna win it life. So he doesn't quit. He's routine with everything he does every morning, and he doesn't stop. I think that would be the end of him if he ever stopped moving. So he is impressive, and last season was a huge year for him with the jersey retirement, yeah. And I just think he's carried all that this summer. It was a fun summer celebrating. Mm-hmm. My mom was joking. I think we're celebrating dad like every weekend right now. I don't even know what we're celebrating, but it was just a fun summer. And he lives for life. I mean, he wakes up and he doesn't want to waste any time.
Great stuff. We love having him every Wednesday at 8:45. Certainly makes our show better. And we really, really appreciate your time this morning, Kaylee. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kaylee.
Thank you, guys. Great to catch up with you anytime.